Baby!
Hello.
Right, was that Lumen?
Lumen's here, yeah. Say bye. Lumen's going for a walk, aren't you, Lumen?
Yeah? Has she got a yellow hat on?
This is James who gave you your yellow running hat. Oh.
Hi. How's it going?
All right, she can't hear you because I've got headphones in.
All right.
He says, do you like the hat?
I do.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
He does. Yeah.
I want to rub it too. I want to rub it when you go running. I want to go running with you.
Yeah, it's your special running hat, isn't it? Yeah.
I can't wait to go running with her, tell her. And yeah, she's got two now, hasn't she?
Yeah, I don't know where the other one is. Yeah.
You probably took it.
She has got two. Oh, that one's quite a small one. That's good, yeah. Yeah.
You look so good on her. It's the best I've ever seen a hat look on anybody by miles.
Yeah. But who's Miles?
Oh, shut up. What are you doing then? Have you just had dinner?
Had dinner? No, I haven't had dinner. I've just been in the sauna and yoga, hot yoga. Yeah.
Double whammy.
That's why, yeah, double bubble, hot bot yacht. And then, yeah, I'm a bit late. I've been driving around looking for a parking space. You don't have that issue, do you? You've got a driveway.
Yeah.
You don't spend half an hour each day driving around the same block.
Oh, that's infuriating. What are you trying to park? The van?
The transit, yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Got one, though. Got a space.
Well done, mate.
Got a space. Yes. So, Victoria Derbyshire is coming on.
I told Mark quarter two because I was having some sound issues, but I've actually managed to get the sound working by ringing Louis. I had Louis take Lisa's phone into his bedroom, and we've been on and off the phone for about 45 minutes trying to problem solve. So he's been our technical guru today, and it is working. So I told Mark, we've got 10 minutes till we get Mark on.
Fantastic.
But I told him like 20, 30 minutes. It's not really his cup of tea, this sort of thing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you need to tell me all about the arc, mate. What happened?
I felt so rough the few days before. Like I told you, I got ill after that national running show. I think it was that tempo session we did on the Sunday morning together.
on the Sunday morning.
4 miles.
That Sunday morning, I just got up and I knew you weren't. I knew.
Oh,
you
do you know what that was? Oh no, we went on Saturday. Do you know why I missed Sunday? I was watching the Green Bay Packers game
I didn't even bother. I didn't even bother checking my phone. I just went without you, like even before 7. And then I got back and just, it's that telepathic. It was telepathy.
Oh, I slept so badly and it was all right because I got up at 1 and watched the Green Bay game and they lost again. And
how did you watch the Green Bay game?
On the Sky app because on my phone.
I was going to say,
and a good NFL game lasts 3 hours. So I went to sleep about four, and then I woke up and it was like 7:20, and you'd already started running. Anyway, then I got ill, and then I went to the race, and I decided to give it a crack. And I didn't know
you went
if
for
I was
the chicken chasing.
Yeah,
you did, didn't you? You went for the chicken chasing pace in the first 20.
So Dan rang me up and said the best pace to try to run the race at is imagine you're chasing a chicken and you can't quite catch it, and you're sort of chasing it around. That's goal race pace, and I could visualise that because we've got some chickens, 20. So I spend a lot of time chasing them around. Mate, for like 45 miles, I was running really well. I think I got up to 4th.
I was watching. Yeah, I was watching your tracker. It was all looking so good, wasn't it? Like, you were up to 4th or 5th.
Yeah.
Perfectly placed.
Conditions were great.
Coming up to, seen Stephen Isn't My Cousin's videos. I watched you come through at 10 miles. Conditions are great, he said.
Oh, yeah. Underfoot. Did you see that? Did you?
Yeah. I saw that. I do really like Stephen's Not My Cousin. I do. I find it like, because you get a lot of, you get the kind of the big drone footage stuff, don't you? Yeah. But his is, it's just proper, you're there at the race.
Gritty.
You are completely there at the race.
Gritty.
It's gritty. Yeah. And yeah, just inane chatter at checkpoints. And yeah. I do, yeah, I love it. Yeah, so you seem confident. And then,
yeah, I felt
and then
good.
When did you, where did you get? Penzance? Or where did you,
no,
what happened?
I
something happened
got
somewhere.
To, there's a road section through Penzance. I ran that pretty well. And then I got on the rough of stuff to Minak Theatre where we started the 50 that time. And I got to the car park above the theatre and I said to Rye, look, I mean, I'm not feeling good, mate. I've been sicker a few times on that last section and I need 20 minutes. So I took 20 minutes and ate some pizza and got myself together. And then I cracked on and got past Land's End and I was out of it. Like, chundering, cold, fed up, just like race unraveling. And I got to the van and I said to him and Laura, look, I mean, I can just carry on and it's not going to go well. Like, I was pretty sure I was going to drop out at Cape Cornwall. I said, or I can just take some time, like settle everything down, kiss the race goodbye, but, you know, get a finish. And so that's what I did. And an hour and 45 minutes later, I started back again. And actually, once I got going, I ran okay from there to the finish.
Yeah, yeah, you looked like you were picking up. Yeah, yeah.
But I just said to them, like, it just seems.
I was proud.
I said to them, it seems pointless to carry on, but it's more pointless not to. Like, I've got 25 hours to finish this race. It's just no point just sitting here and going home at 2 a.m. Let's just see. And so yeah, it took me 26 hours in the end, but you know, I'm happy that I finished, but my God, it was.
Surely you'd be happier. Yeah, but I find you get most satisfaction from those races, no? Where things are hard, you know, and you battle through and it, well, from the tracker never tells the real story, but
no.
Like, it seemed like you were looking pretty strong towards you were picking up places.
Yeah.
The tracker never had that ominous, I love that little bed sign on the trackers.
When you stop. It's so
and
funny.
You didn't have that and it was.
Yeah.
And you were, you looked to be moving really well, man. And it was, I watched you finish live thanks to the live feed.
Wow.
He was going to move to. He was saying we've been at the finish too long. I'm going to go back to somewhere else. And there was loads of comments saying, "No, James." I even wrote one as well. Yeah, James is coming in. You've got to stay for James to finish. And then he stayed for you to finish, and it was worth it because it was a rather eloquent video.
Good interview
as well. Yeah,
yeah,
it was. Were you catching that bloke just in front of you?
No, he just passed me. I think I was 10th coming into. I made up quite a few places over the shitty section.
How did you let him go past you?
I had.
How did you let him go? He's only like a minute in front of you, man.
Yeah. He passed me about 3 miles before that. And I was like, ugh. He wasn't the only one. At that last village, between there and the finish, I think 4 people ran past me. And everyone was like kicking the teeth. And I just had nothing to respond with. I was just like, but he never really pulled away, and I was like, oh, I'll hang on to him. I reckon I can nick him on that last hill, and I just couldn't get there.
Man. It can't have been 4 people come past you, because then you'd have been like 5th or something.
I'd made a lot of places up on that Zenner section because it's a nightmare, and I just kept plugging away and pushed straight through St. Ives, didn't stop. But yeah, on that last section, the wheel had just
evaporated. How were the dunes of doom?
The dunes, it was like a nice sunny day. And I can't tell you how good conditions were. I've never seen it like that down there. Like, obviously, I've never run there in summer. I've only ever been there in winter. But it was pretty much dry. And it was windy, but the sun was out on Saturday and Mizzle was sort of blowing in, but then the sun was coming out. It was beautiful.
Did you see
my quads
any
were absolutely
seals?
Fucked. So I was going down those steep descents at the end, really really carefully because I was thinking,
like
I'm just going to topple forward and go like head first, like Superman down those really sharp drops to those coves. So I was going down sideways. It was pretty, not very eloquent, but elegant even. Anyway.
Yeah, your interview was eloquent.
Ooh.
Your running was not elegant. Yeah, so you were basically running down hills a bit like me, yeah?
Yeah. Worse.
But quite gingerly, quite gingerly.
It was a bit of a shambles. Yeah.
How come? That must be, you can't have been up on hills for a while then, because usually your quads are like a
titanium. I trained for Barcelona 24-hour in December and then obviously not gone. So I didn't really come in with any hill training whatsoever, which it's not hilly, right? It's just lots of short up and downs. So, I probably wasn't properly conditioned. Overall, it was an absolute shambles, but the actual net outcomes was all right. But you know, the man we've got on today,
Manchester Marathon,
yeah, apparently.
You're still in it, yeah. You're in it to win it. Yeah?
I'm still
in it.
It's
our next run together, isn't it?
Are you really fired? Yeah? You're really fired up for it, aren't you?
I'm fired up, mate. I've got a run. Yeah, I'm fired up. I'm park running tomorrow. Got a race tomorrow, and I'm park run.
Park race.
So
you've had this beautiful race block, though, and all these tempo sessions and everything else, and I've come off a 26-hour 100. It's not really like...
Perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, I'm Sussex Trail eventing on Sunday.
Oh, you what the race?
The Dark Star.
Jay and Chris were in the back seat of the coach with me on the way to the start. Jay was getting so much abuse as like looking like a homeless person, and Danny had his string vest on that he started wearing at races. There's those two, me and Ali Bailey, and it was a great bus ride. It was great.
Who was having a go at Jay for looking like a homeless?
Everybody.
Why?
The other three
of us. How homeless did he look?
You know, he's wearing a race vest from 1986, and you know, like,
yeah,
he runs a great rerun guy. Yeah. Anyway, Dark Star is looking... horrible. Is it muddy or is it dry?
I don't know. It's definitely this dry up my end of the river. I don't know when it goes up a bit further. Yeah,
is that the one that's 28 miles out and back to the brewery?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one. Well,
I think I had a course record there until you got your mate Kevin Rojas down to break it, didn't you?
Oh, did he take your course record?
I think
really?
So.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm... Yeah,
you
I'm
better break 3 hours.
Actually. No, I have to stick me Alpha Flyers on, whether it's Alpha Fly dry. Yeah.
Fly.
I'm geared up for Manchester. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Me and you are going all out, aren't we? Sub 2:30 or die. Yeah.
Yeah. You might just be. 2:30. Right. Now let's bring Luke Derbyshire, according to his Skype. He's called Luke Derbyshire. Let me just introduce him, because do you know much about him?
I don't know too much about him. He won the Arc in 2022, and I looked at him on DUV.
Yeah.
I checked up his races, and he pretty much seems to win every race he enters. Yeah.
He likes the
Beacons Ultra or whatever, or the and he's won North Downs Way, yeah? Before.
Yeah. Course record, massive course record. But then most noticeably, he broke the course record at Lakeland last year by about 40 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the people at the finish were saying that they couldn't believe his splits towards the end, and they wanted to check his tracker and stuff. He's that fast. But it was no surprise to those of us who know him. I've never, ever... I'm just typing his name in, if you can hear me. I've never, ever seen someone close races, particularly hundreds, like this guy. I mean... Mm-hmm. It looks close, and he's like running with other people, and then he wins by an hour. So he's running last third of the course in just a pace that nobody can even get near. I think he's the best 100 miler we've got at the moment, male 100 miler, because he's done it North Downs Way, Lakeland, UTS. And now the Arc. I just I just want to know how he's doing it. And he's not like, Mark is a quiet guy. Like at the end, he was just having some food. I was bothering him, telling him how amazing he was. And he only agreed to come on because he listened to us during lockdown. He said it helped his running. But, you know, I think I just want to know how he's doing it. So let's bring him in. And
yeah, it was a phenomenal performance. And I feel because I was centering in on you quite a lot as you were running, his little tracker number was quite, it was always off the screen.
Yeah. because he beat me by 7 hours.
He was right at the top left hand side of the screen. And you're right, he weren't they running together for a little bit, like first and second, and then he just flew away. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's find out the secret then.
Let's find out what the secret source is. I'm just calling him in now. I told him 2:15, so here he is.
Hello.
Mark.
Sorry, I haven't used Skype for ages. I couldn't work out how you actually get on it.
Don't worry, mate. I just downloaded it.
Can you see if you can speak
louder into the mic? Because your end's quite quiet and I can't. I've got to turn everyone up or no one.
Okay,
There you go. There you go.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah,
how are you, mate?
Like someone off Radio 4.
Yeah, I'm all right.
We've just done a little intro and said to people, this probably isn't your cup of tea, all the attention, but that we love you and are amazed at what you're doing and just want to find out what the secret sauce is, really.
Okay, mate. Okay, thanks for that. I don't think there is a secret sauce, but I'm absolutely honoured to be on the show. I've listened to it for ages.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah.
This one isn't actually going out. We're just ringing you up because we want to know the secret.
That makes me more relaxed, actually. Yeah.
We sort of briefly chatted, Mark, over a vegan tali in the cafe at the finish. But
yeah, we did.
What a day!
Vegan, mate. Just wait, go back. A vegan tali.
Mark, tell him how good this was. This food.
It was a very good vegan tali. I think if you're going to have vegan food, I think Tali's a good option.
Dan, just to be clear, it's a vegan restaurant, right? There's no chicken on the menu. Yeah.
Lovely. You never have vegan Tali's with me, Mr. Elson. You just have chicken jowfraises. I don't know.
Right.
Bits of plastic.
Now we've established what my favourite Indian meal is.
Family Inns.
Mark, how are you feeling a week on? Are you recovered? Dan's favourite question. How's the legs?
Yeah, the legs have been all right. The big toe's a bit sore. Yeah. I've had a bit of a big sort of nasty swelling underneath it for a few days. I had to get a little needle on it just to release the pressure there for a bit. But now I felt all right. Been tired, obviously. I mean, I've been going to bed at 9 o'clock most nights this week, which isn't great, but you know, it all helps. I think it all helps with the recovery, doesn't it? Yeah.
Firstly, what did you make of the course? Like, we briefly discussed it, but how does it compare? You know, you've had a good stab at UTMB, North Downs 100, Lakeland, UTS. How does this compare?
I don't know, it's a very tough course. I think mainly the fact that it's in winter and it's dark for so long is a big factor. And you have to try and find your way along that coast path. I mean, lots of times I went up the wrong route, up and down, and then trying to find the right route. So that all adds to how hard it is. That section from Land's End that they all go on about, and I'd say they go on about it for good reason. It's pretty brutal. It's pretty up and down, rocky.
It took me 4 hours and 40 minutes to do that half marathon.
How long, mate? Sorry?
4 hours and 40 minutes.
4 hours, 40, that's quite a long time.
Listen,
a
mate,
marathon.
I wasn't moving as well as you. All right, a little bit off the pace through there.
Was that 4 hours and 40 minutes of moving?
Actual moving.
Did that include your little bed sign on your tracker?
No.
Actual moving?
That was my actual, that was me trying.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you must have been going backwards at some point, surely.
I overtook a lot of people in that bit, right? I think, Mark, you were half of my time through there, which just goes to show how shit at running I am.
I don't know, you slept for half an hour, did you? An hour?
Yeah, a little bit more than that, maybe.
Oh, there you go.
But anyway, back to you, mate. Back to you. Yeah. Right, so just to be clear, you've never been on this course before, right? Which is, considering you had 4 hours of daylight and then you finished in the dark, so you had literally 4 hours in the daylight and then the entire rest of the race in the dark on a coast path where the markings aren't great. That makes the time that you ran even more ridiculous.
How did you do it, man? How did you do the navigation? Like, what was your...
I don't know. It's on my watch. The GPX, to be fair, was on the money. It was it was to the yard. Like, I mean, so that helped. I've had GPXs before where you put it on your watch and then it's like 50 meters out for the whole thing. So you run past everything, don't you? Which is a bit of a nightmare.
But Mark, you went wrong at mile one and had to overtake.
I did,
That was
a bit daft. And then and then tried to sprint past people to catch up with the front pack, which again probably isn't the best idea in a 100 miler. But no, it worked out right in the end, didn't it?
So for me, the only disappointment apart from my own performance was just not being able to see you run like this. But like from the story of the race, it seemed that you kind of ran with Rob Forbes.
And it was nice to meet him, actually.
He's a great guy, isn't he?
He's a great chap, isn't he? Yeah.
Such a nice bloke. And obviously talented runner himself, good finishes at TDS and record holder on Cotswold Way and stuff. But then where did you sort of tear away and then, you know, how did that sort of happen?
So I think about 5 or 6 miles after Land's End, what's his name? Tristan Stevenson caught us up.
Yeah.
And it kind of puts it in the back of your mind. You're thinking, okay, I think he's a local lad. So I'm kind of guessing he knows the trails pretty well.
Yep.
So I sort of
knows the shortcuts.
No, not Tristan.
Well, there's another story there, isn't there, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just sort of put my foot down a bit from there, really, and felt strong through that section, and then going towards St Ives. I was a bit sick in St Ives, to be honest. So I threw up twice coming out of St Ives.
Right.
And then felt a bit dizzy for a while. Could have liquids. I don't know. It wasn't the perfect 100 by any means. I certainly had issues. Like, it wasn't like Lakeland. Lakeland, everything was on the money, went perfect. But I certainly had issues during this one.
What seems to happen, though, like, you felt rough there at the end, but you've put an hour into everyone else. Like, Tristan's a really solid runner, as you say, knows the course. I think he was third the last time.
Yeah.
And you're together, and then with a quarter of the race left, not dissimilar to Lakeland, right, where you were with Marcus, and then you won by an hour and 40 minutes or whatever. Like, what is happening at the end? How can you find that pace? Like, is your mind always on point? Like, do you always, like, have a fight in you and then your body just responds? Like,
I don't know. I wouldn't say that. I've had two DNFs before. So it's there. Like, if it goes wrong, it goes wrong, doesn't it? And, there's not much you can do about it. I train hard. I get up early in the morning to run big mileage. I'd say I usually go off fairly slowly. Conservatively.
Yep.
You can make big gains at the end of those 100 miles, can't you?
It's so true.
If you've been pretty conservative for the first half, right?
So true.
So do you think that's the natural way you race, or do you think you just put those burners on because there's people, you know, like you're saying, Tristan was catching up with you? Or do you think even if he wasn't there, do you think you'd just pull away in that last section?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I don't know, taking it easy during the first half of 100s just seems like a sensible thing to do. There's so many things that can go wrong in the first half. I know you can get lost, especially with the self-navigation ones. I mean, if you put in an effort and then go the wrong way for 2, 3, 4 minutes, you've lost that advantage, haven't you?
Totally.
So, I don't know, it's pretty pointless running off on your own in the dark, you know, during the arc especially.
To me, you're like the British Kylian Jornet. You know how you see Kylian like playing with the competition in the first half.
Doesn't hear that, like, I'm not
you ever see Unbreakable where Kylian's like pissing about on the trail doing like jumps and stuff, and he gets egg on his face at the end when he doesn't have any water and bonks and has to walk it in, but you sort of seem to be just jogging along with company, which is pretty smart, well within yourself, and then it's like, okay, now I'm gonna start running. But you know, you're right. If you're running half a minute a mile too fast early on, could cost you 4 or 5 minutes a mile in the last quarter, right? And hence you're just running away from. But that last section on the arc from St. Ives, were you surprised at how good going that was?
I didn't find it that good going. I probably struggled a bit more there than the technical bit. I mean,
really.
I felt sick for big patches of that, and then there was those horrible concrete steps near the end, don't you? That you seemed like you need to be a giant to get up them, didn't you? They were enormous. So that was pretty bad.
Going back to that thing, we had a chat with Kylian Jornet. Yeah. A few weeks ago, and he did introduce himself to us as a Spanish Mark Derbyshire. Yeah, so that kind of works. Yeah.
He definitely knows who you are now, mate.
I don't think he does, mate.
No, that's true. I was just trying to make you feel better. But yeah, tell us more about these big miles then. Like, what are you doing in training? Because obviously, you're coming into these events in great shape. You look like you're in great shape. You look like lean and mean and ready to run hard. Like, what's the regime? What are you putting together in training?
I do 100-mile plus weeks probably 2 or 3 months sort of before the race.
Yeah.
So I sold my car a few years ago, so I have to run to work and back. Work's 5 miles there, 5 miles back, so it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy to get 10 miles a day in without really thinking about it.
Yeah.
The old man lives in the Brecon Beacons.
Nice.
So that's like the Chamonix, isn't it? So he lives in a place called Talibon-Tonusk.
Yep.
So I go and see him occasionally, like probably once a month, get a big mountain day out there. I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 hours out in the Brecon Beacons.
And that's why you've done the Beacons Ultra several times, right?
That is, and also won it for the first time last year, which was probably...
For the first time, really?
First time. I've been doing that race since 2016, but you always get someone else rock up.
Charlie Harper.
Charlie Harper rocked up and kicked my ass in 2019.
Yeah. He's my boy.
Yeah, what happened to him? I thought he was doing the arc.
He was down for the 50, but he's still recovering from exploits last year. And he's just about to change job and move down to where Dan lives. Yeah. And he just wasn't in shape to give it full beans. So he'll be back next year, I reckon.
That race is kind of, that's your race, isn't it? It's your signature race, yeah? How many times have you run it?
Yeah, it's my first ever ultra. First ever ultra. So the year I think I did it 2016 for the first time, and Tom Evans turned up and won it that year.
Oh, really? I've had
a bit of competition doing it, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's you have the same relationship to that race that James has to the country, to capital, yeah? Kind of your things, your signature races, yeah.
Why do you have to say that? Why does it always come back? How do you always manage to end up mentioning that event? Right,
you
Mark. So,
your invitation.
What is work? Is it like physical job? Are you getting any training done at work, or is it desk stuff?
No, I work as an anaesthetic associate. So I put people to sleep and keep them asleep when they have their surgery, and then wake them up again at the end of it all.
NHS.
NHS, mate. NHS. Give us a clap.
Yeah.
Big love for you, bud. Big love. Mate. Okay, yeah, and what, you know, this journey, like when you finished North Downs 100, the thing that stuck out to me was just how relaxed you were. Like you pulled your Sainsbury's bag out of your race vest. Yeah. And just gave it to me to check your kit off. And I just remember thinking, you just didn't need anything. You were just totally in control. I don't think you even had a shirt on, mate. I think you just had your race vest on.
No, I think I did that. Yeah.
You just look like a man. I know it's an old cliche, but just went out for a little jog and ran 103 miles in course record pace by miles. And, you know, went like a motorbike at the end. But what's the motivation? Is it just beautiful trails and running long distances, or is there a bit more to it than that?
No, I think a bit of that. I've always sort of been interested in sport and things like that. Got into running probably 8 or 9 years ago. I think I did a marathon and did all right. 2:45 is my best marathon time. But I don't think the distance suits me really. I think every time I try and do any speed work, get injured really. So moved up to the ultras in 2016.
Yep.
Yeah. And then since then, sort of did my first 45, 50, and then moved up to 100K, and then the North Downs Way. Yeah, that was my first ever ultra. Yeah. Yes, it's a good battle with Rob Payne during that. I remember.
Yeah,
Rob
that's
Payne,
right. Yeah. Rob was with you till like 80-ish. In fact, he was up ahead, wasn't he, for a lot of that?
Yeah. He flew off ahead, like, and then thankfully I managed to run him down with about 20 miles to go. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty good time for your first ever ultra, isn't
it? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, first 100 that was. Yeah. Nice. No, it went well, mate.
Right, before we talk about the ones that didn't go well, because I think it'd be really interesting to find out what didn't work out. But like Lakeland, like there were people messaging me during the end of that race going, we're at the finish and there's some people demanding to see Mark's tracker because they don't believe his splits over the second half of that course. And I was like,
it's like you
show him the tracker. Like, we know who he is. That is like he. It was no surprise. But, you know, you said you just, like, hit the vein of your life during that second half of that race. Did you know the course? Did you know what was coming? Because my mate Steve Ashworth was out on Loughrigg, and he was saying that he saw you come across the side of Loughrigg there, and he just thought it was some lad out for, like, a five-miler. You were running that hard. And this is a guy who knows what good running really is, you know?
No, I think I saw Kim Collison on that run as well at some point. I saw all sorts of folk. Lakeland was awesome. I mean, you get there; it's a big event with a lot of history sort of steeped in it, and I sort of think they've got the atmosphere down to a key. It's great atmosphere; feels like a festival, doesn't it?
It really does.
So the first half, I kind of played it fairly easy. Stuck with Marcus Goodbratz.
Yep.
I think it was the chap I ran with for the first half of that, and he's local to the area, so he knew what he was doing. And then got to Pooley Bridge, I think, which I'd wrecked from, and I don't know, just felt good, knew where I was going from there, so obviously had the confidence to push on a little bit, and then had one of those races where nothing goes wrong at all, so the stomach felt good. I could eat every half an hour, 40 minutes throughout the race, and just felt good at the end to push on.
What are you eating and drinking, Mark?
I don't have a fixed plan. I don't have any sort of fixed plan for any of these hundreds, to be honest. I just eat what looks good. I mean, I go out with a load of gels and then pick up sort of solid stuff from the aid station, really, because I don't want to carry it, basically. Mm. I mean, those Morton gels are pretty good, but blimey, they're pricey, aren't they? You get a pint of lager in Birmingham for that, I tell you.
Yeah, they are ridiculous, aren't they? Yeah. They are good.
They go down so easily. Like you can just put them in their mouth with a bit of water and it's gone, isn't it? But
We tried to work out how much it would be to run a 24-hour race on those Morton gels. I think about like £300 or something.
Yeah, it would cost you a bit, wouldn't it? Yeah. I haven't had the cash yet to buy purely Morton gels for one race, so I've kind of mixed it up a bit.
Mixed up with some salted peanuts and salted Jaffa cakes.
Yeah.
I mean, old school.
Yeah. I don't know, if the stomach goes, I tend to go for just coke and nuts is another one. So I can chew the nuts and then sort of swig that down with like a mouthful of coke.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, really.
This is exceptional. Like, I'm now starting to think, like Mark, all I do
is... What do you guys do, like?
Well, Morton. All we do is eat and drink the out-of-date stuff that we haven't managed to sell in the shop.
You got any out-of-date stuff? Like, really out-of-date stuff? Send it my way, mate.
I'm going to send you a load of Morton tomorrow, mate, because now I'm like, well, if he's doing this and he's doing it on, like, half-baked nutrition, what's he going to do...
It's not half baked as well. I think it's a good mixture, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I think you have to be able to look at something in an aid station and think, oh, I like that.
And Mark, your mum crewed you at the Ark, right? You know,
yeah.
Was that?
Yeah, she's a legend during that. I tell you that was probably harder than running it with those Cornish roads.
That's it. Like, I'm really worried. I would really worry about. Like, I asked Rye to crew me as a good friend because he knows the area, but it's really hard to crew, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And at times I was pretty worried about her, to be honest. Like, I mean, she was up all night. She's 71 years old. Like,
wow.
70. Fair play.
Just driving around. Not knowing where she's going, and
mate, next time you need to let us know, okay? We will come and look after you, because to see someone run like that, oh my god!
Your mum's done a wonderful job, yes.
She has.
But any help would
Mark
be,
get you along, James?
I don't want to sack your mum, or force you to make a
chief crew, like.
She can boss us around. She can tell us what's what. She obviously
she's
knows
quite
you.
Good at that as well, to be fair.
Well, I think my mum crewed me for a little bit. When she crewed me when I ran from Bombay down to Goa, and she did it. She had to do it on public transport. She was following me on like Indian buses and boats and rickshaws. Yeah, right, yeah. Right. She was probably about the same age as well. Yeah, yeah, that's fantastic.
Shout out
to
the ultra mums.
The ultra mums, the ultra crew mums. Yeah,
maybe they should
Cornish
all get in
roads.
Touch and share tips.
How some of those Cornish roads, though, they're single track, aren't they? Where you go and meet people. Like how do they get
even in the daytime? They're quite hard to drive around, aren't they?
Yeah. They are, and there's no phone reception. So my problem, like when I've crewed there before, is that you get somewhere to crew someone and then you have no idea where you're going afterwards because you can't get your phone to work. So you just got to use a map. And that, you know, at 4 a.m. and you're worried about missing the runner at the next point.
She's not the greatest map reader either, if I'm honest.
It's pretty stressful.
Yeah.
She did all right, though. She was
she did all of yours.
She did
very well, yes.
And it wasn't like you were slouching around, yeah. It's not like she could have a sleep like James's crew for an hour and a half. But,
I think it's harder to treat my crew first as well because there's no one to follow either, is there? So
yeah, and there's no
one in the car parks. Like she was a bit worried about being in the car parks on her own with like strange folk about. And that.
I hadn't even thought of that. She's turning up to these places. There's no sign of the race, right? Because nobody else has come even near to getting there yet. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not even anyone to chat to. There's no crew banter either. Yeah, because you're too quick and fair play.
Mark, before we move on to really one well. Or two others, what do you reckon is more difficult out of the Ark and Lakeland?
I found the Ark more difficult, but I think that could be to do with how the race went. I don't know. It's in winter, isn't it? Which automatically makes it more difficult. And and you've got 14 hours of darkness. You've got I don't know. I mean, they're both difficult races. But I had a perfect race at Lakeland. I had no issues at all. Everything was good. Whereas I had a few issues at the Ark.
Mm-hmm.
Is Lakeland marked, or is that self-navigate.
No, it's on March as well. Like,
oh, it is, yeah.
Yeah. But also I'd wrecked the last 50 pretty much at Lakeland, mm-hmm. So obviously that helped a lot.
What happened at UTMB? Because you were running well there, but then we were following your tracker, and I can't remember if you got to Lafui or Champagne, and you stopped, didn't you? What went wrong, and are you going to go back?
I am going back. Yes, I don't know what went wrong. Lots went wrong. I don't know. It's my first DNF, which is pretty shit, but it happens.
It happens.
I don't know, I'd say the head went more than the heart. I just sort of lost the will more than anything. People going past you is not nice, is it? So I knew I wasn't going to get my target. So I was hoping to get top 20, maybe top 10 on a good day. And then with people going past me, and I don't know, it was just bad. So I had the wrong socks on as well. I got blisters early on. So we got a text on the plane that they changed to the cold weather gear because of what happened with that chap, sadly, on the TDS. So,
yeah.
So I went out and spent bloody €50 in Chamonix on some nice, like, knee-high socks that they make you buy.
Very nice.
Oh, beautiful they are, yeah. And after 10 miles, I could feel blisters on both feet. From these socks, they've got little like bumps underneath them, which I didn't check. So I've got a couple of blisters. Poles, I don't really get on with poles very well.
Did you use poles?
Yeah, I did use poles, but I think next time I won't use poles.
I don't think you need them for a runner of your caliber at UTMB, where it's all green trail.
They help me. And then the altitude was a bit of a shock as well, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that high, but it's high enough to make a difference.
I agree. And the poles thing, like if you don't feel comfortable with them, they just end up being that thing that's always in your hands and stopping you doing zips and getting food. And you've got to be efficient with them, haven't you?
European lads are brought up on them, aren't they? From kids, they're walking up hills with poles, whereas you know you don't see anyone with poles in the Lake District, do you? Or around Wales.
Down our way. Yeah.
Did you have poles at TDG, James?
Yes, I did.
You did.
I did. Yeah. But I didn't. I haven't used them at UTMB. I just use them. I've used them for the rounds. I used them for the last leg of my Paddy Buckley. I used them for a lot of my Bob Graham, and I used them for the TDG. But TDG, you've got these massive like 5,000 foot climbs, like to altitude, and you just need to take some load off your legs, I think. So they're worth having there.
There's nothing more annoying when you haven't got poles and then people
Everyone
start overtaking
has.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, with their poles. And you're, fucker.
But I think UTMB, like for a runner of Mark's calibre, is still a runner's course. Like I know there's loads of climbing, but it's still, the climbing is good. Like it doesn't need.
Yeah, that's sort of what I was thinking. I don't know, poles are supposed to save your legs, aren't they? But my legs were totally gone last time, so that didn't help anyway. So I don't know. I don't know, why not give it a shot without... I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, I suppose poles when you know how to use them properly
to
save
use
your
them,
legs,
yeah.
Poles
great.
When you're just kind of clanging them around and you're... They don't. So
I think I fell over my poles more times than.
What are you going to do different then? Are you racing again this year?
Yeah.
So what have you learned from last year that's going to?
What have I learned? So I would say, I think I went off a bit quick last time. That first 20K is pretty flat and pretty.
Yeah.
It's too flat and too incredible, isn't it? Everyone like bombs off at 6 minute mile pace, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you've still got 90 miles and 10,000 meters of climbing left. So I think I balls that up a bit because I tried to keep up with some of the front guys, whereas I should have just run my own race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you only told us 10 minutes ago how you start off easy.
But that section, like when you're in that big crowd at the start and you're trying to get out of town before everyone
else. It's like the Tour de France sort of atmosphere, isn't it?
It is.
Which is why I wanted to go back, just for the atmosphere. I'm taking the wife and kids out this time.
Nice.
So that is, you know, a bit more motivating sort of to get round. Even if it goes horribly wrong, I think I'll probably plod round. That's it really. I'm heading out a week early to try and acclimatise a bit.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah, but I have no great ambitions of sort of doing great things there. It's just sort of get around.
But you got UTS 8 weeks before, right? The 100 mile.
Yes, I'm doing UTS 165. I think that's July the 1st. Yeah. So, yeah,
well, that's close. Yeah,
it's a beast.
Not that close. It's a beast. I don't know. I think it'll be all right. It's 8 weeks, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. 8 weeks. Yeah,
8 weeks.
8 weeks be great. I don't know. Anyway, I mean, I like racing. Mm-hmm. I got into sport pretty late, and I don't know. Just enjoy racing really. So
it's hard, isn't it? Because you want to do everything.
Yeah,
especially when you're running as well as you are, you're sort of looking at it and going, I want to give that a go. And, you know, time's not on my side. I want to race this, I want to race that. But then before you know it, you've got too much in the calendar and you've sacrificed a little bit on the compromise.
I have got
a little
quite
bit.
A lot in the calendar. I'm doing Penygolossa in May, it's got April as well.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
That's nice. I signed up for that years ago, and then it just kept getting cancelled because of COVID, and then it's finally coming around. So
right, so we always have to ask Mark, but what about 24 hour? Is that on the horizon?
I would never say never to it, but it isn't something that I would think I'd be particularly strong at. It's probably a bit flat for my liking.
Yeah.
A little bit flat. Yeah.
Very flat,
You do seem to be good on the rough stuff.
The navigation would be pretty easy on it, though.
Yeah, the navigation's good. Yeah. But you seem to be good on the climbing, especially the climbing, and the rougher ground.
That suits me more than that. But I think it's like the purest form of ultra running, isn't it? I think to do one would be certainly up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you've always What about you, James? Are you ready to go back to 24s?
I was in December. Like, I had focused on Barcelona and I thought I was going to give it a good crack, and then when it wasn't possible, I think that, I don't know, I don't feel the burning desire right this minute. What about you?
What about Gloucester? I sign up for Gloucester.
When's Gloucester? I feel like I'm ready again.
October,
isn't it?
Yeah, you've had a bit of a hiatus from it, Dan. You probably are ready.
I've had a couple of years. I do feel like I'm ready. Yeah. I feel like a pair of like incredibly bouncy shoes with plates of carbon and to attack it. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe this year again. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think you could get near that British record?
Well, I don't know. Maybe my time for that. Yeah.
Gone, do you reckon?
I don't know. Yeah,
it's been there for years, though, hasn't it? That record.
Yeah, it has.
It will go. It will go soon. There's lads out there that can achieve it. Definitely. Yeah.
Mark Derbyshire. Yeah.
I don't know about that. I'm not that much younger than you. I'm 43 years old, like.
Yeah, you're much younger than me, don't you?
Nah, I don't know about that, mate.
You're in the peak of 24-hour shape, mate. Like, everyone in the 24-hour team is, you know, mid-40s, with the exception of the odd younger one and the odd older one. Mid-40s is where it's at, right, Dan?
It's where it's your peak, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I reckon... Do a couple more years clearing up the course records at the difficult hundreds. Top 10 UTMB.
Country to capital.
Country to capital first
Jesus
place.
Christ. Yeah. And then, you know, go and new British record 24 hour. I just want to, I want to talk my way back onto crewing you, please.
Yeah, that would be an honour.
So which race are you crewing? The UTS?
Yeah, you have to pick a race.
UTMB?
I've got a place, and I'm hoping to get in a TDG, in which case, Mark, I'm all yours for crew, unless I end up with the, running that instead of TDG. I just want to be part of it, see you running as well as you are. I mean, it's just some performances here that we haven't seen before. How many thousands of people have had a go at that Lakeland course, and you just broke Terry's course record by, I can't remember what it was, 40 minutes? I mean, it's not even close.
That's not a break, it's a smash, isn't it? It's not even close. What, 40 minutes? Smashed, yeah. It's phenomenal. Phenomenal time.
It's unbelievable. Right, Mark, without like drowning you in more and more questions, anything else? Dan, have you got any other, any burning topics for Mark? I just wanted to find out what the secret sauce is. And I think the answer was
peanuts and Coke, early mornings,
and just getting the miles in, like dedication to it, and getting your mum to crew for you.
Crew chief.
Yeah,
indeed.
But I think there's some natural ability there, mate, the likes of which we haven't really seen for a long, long time.
I don't know about that, mate. But thank you.
God, it's good to see. Like, I feel like Ferg was talking to me before the arc this year. He asked me who was in the pre-race preview, and I told him there was only two words he needed, Mark and Derbyshire. And then he said, what's he going to run? And I said, high 18s. So the only disappointment for me was that, you know, you were miles off.
Yeah, well, I was miles off.
High you only 18. Broke the course record and by and an hour and a half.
As well. Yeah, and Kim, whose course? It was Kim's course record.
Yeah, it was Kim's course record.
It's a decent, yeah.
I mean, I know conditions were good, not shabby, but still.
In howling wind and rain and sleet and snow, so
yeah.
It wasn't that bad that year. We ran that year.
That's got to be worth half an hour at least, maybe an hour.
No, Mark, Kim wouldn't give that up on that. No way. Kim's the first to say afterwards that, I mean, he did think your time was going to best his. He did. But I think the margin speaks for itself. I just wonder if anyone can get near, in any kind of, in the near future, get anywhere near these course records you're putting down. It'd be really interesting to see.
I think Ellis is going to go back next year, and I'd imagine he'd be pretty hungry to try and beat it after what happened this year. So
absolutely. It'd be interesting to see.
But then, I don't know, I might go back to the Arc, to be honest.
Now he's talking.
I don't know, maybe. I thought about doing the 50, but then I think maybe... The 100 went well, but I didn't get that Lakeland feeling where I couldn't go quicker, if you know what I mean?
There's more there. Yeah.
Oh, my God, maybe this is incredible.
Maybe there's 5 minutes.
Low 18s. Low 18s, yeah.
I don't know. A lot of it depends on the conditions, doesn't it?
It does. And if we'd add...
At the end of January, you're relying on all sorts. So.
If we'd add the mud, it would have been... And I know it was a little bit muddy in places, but to be perfectly honest, it was as good as I've ever seen it down there.
Yeah.
And I really capitalised on that. You know, I really laid a marker down.
Yeah.
I feel like I ran you scared there. You know, just outside seven hours behind. You know, I think you knew about it, you know. And... I'd like to congratulate myself on making you run that course record.
You made it though. You were top 10. You were top 10.
I wasn't.
And you made it in the top 10.
Fucking
you had a little star on you.
I did, mate, but it fell off before I even pinned the number on.
Mate, unlucky. Unlucky. I kept my star on the whole time.
Did you?
You proper elite runner. Ferg at the start, Ferg's like, come down and do an interview. I was like, you must be fucking joking, mate. I'm not going anywhere near that camera. But I did think, we talked about Stephen Cousins. I thought the coverage was excellent, and they really put their heart and soul into the race. And
I guess if you're going to sell ultra running, you probably need to do it in that way a little bit, don't you? Because it's not really a spectator sport. So I guess you have to get people interested in
Yeah.
It is. I spend a lot of time just watching empty checkpoints, waiting for it. I love it, that sort of stuff. Yeah. I think it is a spectator sport, isn't it? Yeah. There's something, I don't know, calming about watching those live feeds at that 3:30 in the morning. Yeah, it's good.
And the watching is getting more interesting as well, I guess.
I was saying to James, your dot was always off the top of the screen, so it was quite hard to keep an eye on you. Yeah, I was centering in on James, and you were you were off the screen. So, but the aid stations look wonderful, and your little valets, did they manage to keep up with you when you were coming in, Mark? Were they running in?
Oh, that is funny, actually.
Yeah, it's helpful. It's a bit annoying after having to run 1/2 mile up the sort of up off the coast path. I found that marginally irritating. But I guess that's what they have to do, isn't it, to find somewhere suitable.
Uh-huh. It's tricky because you don't need the aid station, and all you got to do is turn around in the entrance, but you still got to go there so that it's fair.
He needs his peanuts and coke.
I did need my peanuts.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe you grab something, but yeah.
Is it a bit so if you don't go into the aid station and you're
I went in and got a bit of watermelon, strange enough, feel nice. It's a bit weird during English winter. It's the type of thing you sort of grab in Spain or
somewhere like that.
But I was munching on the watermelon, which was a bit weird.
I kept seeing. And you can tell me if this is you. There were clementine or tangerine peelings all over the trail.
That weren't me, mate. I don't know. That weren't me.
I mean, like dozens of bits of skin. And I was just odd, like, who is eating these fucking tangerines? Like, how can you eat this many?
What's the point as well? There's no calories in it, is there really?
No. Was it treacherous?
Like banana skins? Maybe
like being in Super Mario.
Yeah, maybe someone was trying to knock your race off or something. Yeah, dropping
it. It's out of my mind. You know, when everything is just one foot in front of the other and he keeps tipping on tangerine peelings, it's the only thing you remember. Yeah.
It might be nice. You might have let off some essential oils, some kind of nice kind of mandarin smell or something.
This is weird. Mark, have you run since the weekend yet?
What's that?
Have you been running yet since the race?
I've been running since Tuesday to work and back because I haven't got a car.
He hasn't got a car.
Back on the 10 miles.
It's either that or a taxi, isn't it? I'm not paying for a taxi, though.
I started 1, 2, 3, 4 miles a day in February, and now Ali Bailey's on at me about doing the accumulator.
On the accumulator.
I'm unintentionally slipping into running an accumulator, which would be fine until day 10.
Come on, mate, you've got to take this.
And then I'm out.
You've got to take this marathon training seriously.
No, I can't take it seriously, mate. I'm not interested. Mark, we're signed up for Manchester Marathon. Dan and I got some good speed work in last weekend, 2 weekends ago.
Two and a half miles round.
Is it April? Is it
April 2nd?
Yeah. I think that was that's my second marathon, Manchester Marathon.
What's it like? You got any tips?
It's all right.
Poles? Do you think we need poles?
Poles are good for Manchester. There's some big hills there, massive hills. it's all right. It's a bit. Usually, it belts it down, doesn't it? Because it's Manchester.
Yeah. Is there a section around like an industrial state, soul destroying industrial state or anything?
Yeah, I think there's a bit that goes around the middle of nowhere where there's no people around mile 22 or something.
Oh, what, that late? Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Come on, we'll still be together then, won't we? We'll get each other through that.
I just cannot see myself going like PB territory there, and then if I'm not, I just wonder what the point is. Like, you'll just fuck off at the start and I'll never see you again. And then, I don't know,
you going for a PB then, are you?
Dan is
my marathon PB is like 2:40 something or 2:48 or something. I've never really run one, so
that's pretty similar.
Yeah,
that is not that is slower than mine, Dan. That is awful. Like compared
that's saying
to
something, isn't it?
Yeah. Sort of runner you are, that is awful.
I think it was in Mumbai, that. Mumbai marathon.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, I'll let you off. Yeah. You're going to run 2:30. I know it. You're going to break 2:30.
Yeah,
I think that's well within your capability.
I don't think. Not quite that quick. 2:30 something, yeah. Yeah, we'll both do it, yeah.
we'll see.
Just like the arc that year before, yeah.
Yeah, Mark, during that horrible section from Zena to St. Ives, Dan just got bored of waiting for me and just pissed
just
off.
Just belted it after.
Yeah, after I navigated him to that point, he was like, I know where I'm going, I'll see you. And then on those steep up and downs, I'd see him across the way going up the other side, and I'd wave to him as if to say, hold on, mate, we'll finish together. And he just kept on going and beat me by about 6 minutes. What a twat. What an absolute twat.
I was just giving you something to chase, wasn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, all right, mate. All right, yeah. Through. All right, see you later. We were slow, though, mate. We were slow. I think we were nine something. Nowhere near it. You were probably quicker for the second half this year.
No, I think I did the second half in about 10 and a half hours. The first half, I think I got to
Minak.
Yeah, what's it called? Minak in 8:40. Too fast, mate.
That's
too
punchy.
Fast, I think.
Yeah, but listen, you finished strong
that's probably
again.
When I felt sick and dizzy. And
maybe. Yeah. But at least you didn't need a sleep at Senin.
No.
You know, every cloud.
Now, did you get a bed there, or was it just
I lay down in the back of Rye's van. I just lay down on the bench. he was like, you know when someone's annoyed, but they're trying to be, like, supportive. Yeah, all right. Yeah, all right, mate. Yeah. And in the end, he goes, that's an hour. And I was like, yeah, all right, fair enough. I'll tell you what it was good for. Dan, you'll love this. I registered for a race today that we've been talking about for a lot of years. They finally moved the date so it doesn't clash with Louis' birthday. So I entered the spine.
You've done it.
I just feel like this was great practice for that and TDG. You know, lay on a bench for an hour, get up and carry on. That is the skill set for those races, right? So I learned something.
That's exciting. When next
spine
year,
and TGD are just this scary beast, aren't they? I'm not sure I...
Different beasts.
I have this thing where I get 20 to 24 hours and like seem to sort of switch off. I need to sleep more than anything else.
Yep.
And I haven't been able to do this. And also, I'm not sure you can train your body to need less sleep.
Yeah.
I think it's something that you just either have or you
don't. Yeah, you're right. I don't get that.
You do the six days. How do you manage that?
No, but you get sleep in them. I think you do. It's more like going to work in the day. You work. You go to work. You run, and then you get. You feel like you do get sleep, even if it's only 2 hours. But I never understand it when people train. Like they're saying, they go to do one of those races and say, "Oh, I'm training
to do it
and they're sleep." Not sleeping. I'm like, surely you need to sleep loads, and then you're like awake. Like if you're not sleeping, you're just gonna be really tired all the time. So I think some people are good at it, and some people.
Yeah, but can you nod off for like 10, 20 minutes on the side of a trail?
Yeah, I'm a pro at that, and Dan can do that too, can't
he? I can do it for.
I've tried it a couple of times when clearly I've needed it.
Yeah,
and I just lie there like and.
I do that every day, mate. I nap every day for 10, 20 minutes. I'm not even joking.
Maybe that's
I think that's too long. 10, 20 is too long. I think you've got to be able to do it for like
one
five
two.
Minutes, 2 minutes, yeah. 2 minutes. Just when your brain.
You set an alarm. Like, what if you like wake up and it's morning time?
No, it doesn't happen.
It just doesn't happen. Or do you make sure it doesn't happen?
No,
it's 2 minutes. Yeah. For me, it's like 2 or 3 minutes and you're just
like bang.
And it feels like you've been asleep for, it feels like you've been asleep for an hour or something and it's brilliant.
I need to make
have you
that,
tried
I think,
it?
To move on to, I think to move up the distances, you need to be able to do that.
You do. I agree.
And
you need to be able to reset.
I don't know how you do it. I can't do it.
I watched Paul Tierney at TDG this year and he really got that right. Like he'd come in and stick his head down for 5 minutes, come back out like refreshed enough to have another good day. And it's really inspiring to watch someone get it right. Yeah. But I agree, it's a massive skill set, and you're not going to do well in those races unless you can do it. But, you know, then on the flip side, just trying to finish them is a different kettle of fish, because to finish TDG is 50K a day with, you know, some people do approach it that way. So it just depends what you want out of the race. Anyway, if I can go on for that for hours.
The course record went again, didn't it? Your year
66 when you... hours.
By Franco.
They don't sleep, do they? They don't sleep.
Yeah, Franco just put his head on a table for like 30 seconds and then wake up and carry on.
Really?
Yeah.
So he didn't sleep at all for that long?
No.
I think 66, you can do it 66 hours. You got a few hallucinations. He
had, I think he had three like 2 minute naps on tables in refuges and straight off. But that is impressive, right? 66 hours. Yes. It's absolutely mental. Anyway, mate.
Right, we're gonna come and crew you for the spine then. Me and Mark can.
No, you can't crew
you.
The spine. You've got to lead me to
crew?
It. No, you've got to lead me to it. But I'm
you have
I'm
to
gonna...
carry all the gear, don't you? Which slightly puts me off. If
so,
I'm
Damo also registered today. Damien Hall. He sent me the kit list 5 minutes later, and it's 23 pages.
Oh my god,
it's massive, isn't
he
it?
He goes
it's things like a sleeping bag and a. And like a kettle and something to cook with. I don't know.
Yeah.
It takes 66 hours to have it checked off. No? Can I at least be your car that drives you from that bit where you don't run to the bit where you start again?
Do you reckon that's still in place next year? Damo offered to share accommodation as long as I finish on the Wednesday night, which I think means keeping up with him. So I've politely declined. but I do need a lift to the start, Dan, so I'll give you a shout. Bye, mate.
Yeah, I'm up for it. I was inspired watching Debbie and watching. I'm never going to do it, but I even toyed with the idea of, like, in my head, of like visions of running the spine, which has never ever happened before. But maybe the weather, it didn't look so bad this year. Maybe it was sunny, wasn't it? It's those times in the snow and the
I thought we were going to get like 10 minutes of you, Mark, and this is the longest podcast I think we've ever done. It's been unbelievable.
It's been nice chatting.
I don't want to sort of make you feel uncomfortable, but I think I love you. And
Mark, he says that to everyone. He says that to everyone.
Feel very uncomfortable.
I do. I just not running this well is just, I don't know. It's just
he's got
so
a lot
exciting.
Of love in him. It's nice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Dan and I'll talk about when we can crew you. But listen. We'll get back in touch and we'll get you some out of date Morton. You know, we promised big on this show. Also, I don't think we've had a guest for about, I don't know, Dan, a year at least. Like, we just haven't really.
Now you've gone a bit underground for a while, haven't you? There's been
we have gone
every 6 months or something.
Yeah, it's so underground that we record them and we don't even put them out.
He's not even joking, mate. We just end up speaking on the phone.
So this will come out sometime in 2023.
No, this won't come out at all. But we've had a nice chat. Yeah, we've had a nice chat.
This will come out. I'm not even going to edit it. I'm just literally going to drop it as pure raw footage. Anyway, right, I'm going to get told off in a minute because I've hogged the living room for an hour and 10 minutes.
I still haven't had my dinner yet, actually.
I haven't had mine. I need to have mine.
Get on the dinner, boys. Right.
I've got a curry in the oven.
Vegan curry.
Vegan Tali.
I think it's got chicken in it, mate.
It's gel crazy.
You need the protein recovery. Mark, good luck. we'll catch you soon. Dan, I love you.
Nice chatting, man.
Cheers,
and
guys.
You, mate. And you.
Take it easy.
See you later.
Till next
Thanks
time.
A lot. Thanks
Bye.
A lot. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.